Coming up, part two of our interview with Russell Johnson, rancher from New Mexico, who's going to talk about immigration in the time of COVID.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey, Chuck Holton here. This is part two of our interview with Russell Johnson. So if you missed the first part, go back and watch that. It was really good. He's got a lot more good information about what's going on in New Mexico along the U.S.-Mexican border right now during the time of COVID. And so here's a little bit more from our conversation.
I was thinking about you guys the other day, and that's one of the reasons I got a hold of you. Is I was thinking, my dream place is to be quarantined someplace with, like 600 square miles of land to run around on in quarantine would be pretty nice, because I've been stuck in my house for over a month now. Here in Panama, the quarantine is a total quarantine. Men can go out for 1 hour a day, 2 days a week. That's it, just to go shopping. No wow. Going for a walk, no walking the dog, nothing. And I'm about ready to drive my car off a bridge. And so when I'm done with this, I want to come out and ride some horses around your property for about a week.
I'll tell you, this is one of those times I'm definitely thankful to be living out in the sticks, I tell you.
Yeah, can you imagine those guys in New York City that are living in like a tiny little apartment with their four kids or something and can't leave? Oh my gosh, you just kill me now. So how's your family doing? And I just, really enjoyed getting to know them and sitting with them and talking when I was there. How are they doing?
Everybody's doing good, staying busy on the ranch, trying to keep beef supplied to the industry, as long as they'll keep taking them.
So
providing a wholesome food product.
If you're not able to sell any cattle, and that is that's your income. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't necessarily out of, you can't apply for unemployment.
Right.
Then neither can I. When you're a business owner, you're on the other end of that. Is there any kind of relief for cattle farmers or anything?
None that I'm aware of right now. That's something that we're dealing with right now is there's a big monopoly within the packing industry. And while the packers are making, upwards of $600 a head, the producing end of it's losing about $400 a head.
Oh, wow.
And in the meantime, we're still importing meat. So that's all very confusing to me. If we have plenty of supply, why are we still importing all of this meat?
Is that a political issue, do you think? Is that what would cause that?
I'm sure there's some involved.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the quarantine regulations in New Mexico right now?
We have, the stay-at-home order, essential workers only, but you see, hundreds of people at Walmart and all these big box stores. So, it makes you wonder how good this quarantine actually is. If you're keeping everybody out of the small business, but then allowing everybody to congregate at the big box stores, it's kind of counterintuitive in my opinion.
Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So, you say it could take another couple of years for them to actually get the fencing built on your property. You sent me the photos of the fence that was built right there near your property the other day. It looks great. Was that a drone shot you sent me? Did you?
Yes, it was drone footage.
Nice. You went out and got one, huh?
Yes, sir.
I gotta like that. You got a great place to fly it out there. So if it's going to take another couple of years to build the fence and we've got an election coming up in 2020, how could that affect you? Are you worried?
I'm still of the opinion that President Trump's going to get reelected, but it's always in the back of my mind. If the alternative gets elected, I guarantee you the wall will probably be stopped. And that's very scary to us because it's coming towards our ranch from both directions. And that's creating a funneling effect. Now, I talked to an agent yesterday and asked him how things were going. And he said, they've still got traffic, but it's relatively slow. And I said, well, do you think it's attributed to the coronavirus? And he says, I think it is. And he goes, my opinion is because the U.S. economy has effectively been shut down, there's no jobs over here. Mm-hmm. But he says, as soon as everything gets lined out, it's going to be back to business as usual at the border, and probably worse because everything's kind of been shut down in a sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of bottled up demand, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. Actually, I want to do a podcast about this in the next week or so. The fact that there are so many tens and even hundreds of billions of dollars that leave the United States every year in remittances where an illegal immigrant comes across, gets a job working for Uber, working at a, you know, picking strawberries, whatever. But then a lot of that money doesn't stay here. He doesn't keep it and spend it. He sends it home to, you know, Uncle Paco and his family to finance the next wave of migrants coming north. Right. And since we've lost so many jobs, many of those jobs have been jobs that were filled by immigrant workers, a lot of those remittances are going to be cut off, which could kind of affect either way. I guess it remains to be seen whether or not that's going to increase the flow of people coming north or decrease the flow of people coming north. One of the things for sure that I haven't had a chance to tell you about, but in January, I got to go down to Guatemala and visit these up in the mountains. They're very remote areas. There's these ghost towns that used to have a couple thousand people in them, and now there's like 200 people. And everybody has left to go to the United States. But the amazing thing is the people who are left in that village are people who have typically been deported from the U.S. and they've already been sent back. But they get jobs building houses for the people who are still in the United States. And it's an empty village full of massive 3,000-square-foot homes that are being built with these remittances that are being sent back from people working in the United States. And it's fascinating. I mean, these are people who literally were living in thatch roof huts with dirt floors. They went to the United States, they worked for 6 or 7 years, they send the majority of their money back to their village, and they build themselves a house. No kidding, I've been to your house, a house three times the size of the house your family lives in. And it's just kind of, would tend to rub you the wrong way, you know, if you look at that and you go, so this money is not going back into the U.S. economy. It's not going to pay taxes to the U.S. government. It's going to finance these people's lavish lifestyles in Latin America. And so anyway, just another kind of piece in that puzzle, very complex and thorny issue down there on the border. But your fence, as it stands right now, you could get a platoon of dope runners across there on foot in a matter of 60 seconds.
Yeah.
But with a 30-foot wall there, that's not going to happen. They're not going to get across there in 60 seconds. It might take them 60 minutes to get that many people across. Mm-hmm. And that speed bump is what makes all the difference, because those Border Patrol guys then have a chance to detect and interdict the ones that they need to, and get people there to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so do you have any idea if they're putting in any other kind of technology while they're building that thing?
I've heard that there's going to be some associated with it, but I don't know entirely.
In the ones that they've finished, I've seen out in California, they did put in some camera systems on poles. I've always said that they really need to run a fiber optic cable along that fence and then connect cameras to it and open them up in the cloud or something and just let people you know, watch them themselves. Artificial intelligence at this point could watch it and tell right. you the difference between a person and a jackrabbit or a deer or something like that.
Right.
So maybe it'll get to that point at some point. It is kind of scary to hear what you have to say about your land actually becoming a funnel for migrants if they don't finish that wall. Because when I was out there, I just remember how easy it was to just walk right across the border right there on your property. Unbelievable. So, well, our best wishes to you, Russell. Thanks for being on with us, and I really appreciate you doing that. I hope that before too long, I will actually be able to travel again. And I'd like to come back and see you again and in person, come and do some more reporting from down there. So
hopefully we'll have a big, beautiful wall we can show you when you do.
That'd be fantastic. Thanks again for coming on with us, Russell.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.